great to be sharing with you today, whatever day it is, whether you're in the Resound building on Sunday morning together, or whether you're watching this on catch up or elsewhere or at other times online. It's really a joy to be able to share with you this message and reflection as we carry on our journey through some of the figures in the story of Genesis, to look at what we can learn from their story and how it applies to our lives today. Before we get into Genesis, I've got a first question for you. What three words would you use to describe yourself as a child? Now, if you're in the Resound building, you might want to take a chance just to chat to your neighbour. If you're at home and watching this with someone else, you could talk with them, or just pause and reflect on it yourself. But what three words best describe yourself as a child? Okay, well, I hope that was an interesting period of reflection and discussion, maybe. I wonder what words you used. Something that occurred to me is that I think it would depend on who you asked. Asking me is one thing, but if you were to ask my brothers what words they would use to describe me as a child, they might say things like annoying, always crying, fussy eater. I mean, they're not always the nicest about me. If you ask my mum, on the other hand, she might say something like angelic, delightful, a pleasure to raise as a child, obedient. Now, I'm assuming that based on past interactions with my mum, you can ask yourself at some point what she would say, but it depends on who you're asking as to how they would describe someone. But that last word I said, obedient, that's something that has different connotations depending on who you speak to. A parent's view of obedience might be different to a child's view of obedience. I think I was a pretty obedient child. I normally did what I was told. I didn't normally kick up a fuss, particularly in my teenage years, where one's prone to disobedience and rebellion. I was pretty good, I think. But I was obedient, I think, for these reasons. I was obedient because I loved my parents. I wanted to be nice to them, I thought. I wanted to do what they asked because I thought that was a way of loving and showing them love. I was obedient because I trusted my parents. I thought they were wise. I knew that they were intelligent. They knew what they were talking about. They had a relationship which showed me that I could trust them. So that when they asked something, I would obey. And I was obedient because I knew that they knew better, similar to trust in some ways. I knew that my parents had wisdom and insight that I was not privy to, that lived longer, that they knew more. So that when they were asking, I knew they were asking because they knew, or something else, not just for the sake of it. When you come to think about obedience to God, I feel like it's a similar dynamic. We have the language of a child and a parent God. God asks things of us, not just for the sake of it, but for good reason, normally for our own good or for a betterment of our journey, deepening of our relationship with God, or to serve and bless others. So when we respond to God, we do so as an act of love, as an act of trust, as an act of understanding our place and that God knows better than anyone. We're going to read from the story in Genesis of Abraham. At this point in time, he's known as Abraham. It's the same guy. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country in the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. Something that blows me away about this story is that we don't quite know what Abraham's relationship was with God before this point. He's only first mentioned in the end of chapter 11 of Genesis as a character, and quite quickly we're in this situation where God's asking or calling Abraham into this huge future, destiny, some might say. Yeah, in verse 4, one of the most important statements in the whole Bible for me and how I live my life, we see that Abraham says, yes. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. We don't know if there were questions asked, we don't know if there were discussions had, but in his act of obedience, Abraham just went. I wonder how you would have fared in that situation. I certainly would have had some questions to ask before I did anything like that. It's not an easy thing. And it doesn't even have to be something of this scale. All of us can have small and big moments in life where we're being called to obedience. I want to take a second now again to ask another question. When has that been for you? Can you remember a time where God's asked something of you, big or small, and you've notably acted with obedience or felt that you needed to act with obedience? Why don't you take another minute now to discuss with your neighbour or reflect on that on your own? I can think of two particular instances in my life where I've had to be obedient to God. It so happens that one is quite a big thing and one is quite a small thing. My big thing is at the age of 15, I felt I heard the voice of God call me into youth ministry, to caring for young people, to serving young people, to be a blessing to them. I wasn't part of a church at that point. I didn't have people around me who I was comfortable sharing that with. I wasn't going to open up and ask what that meant, and I held on to that. But from that point forward, decisions I made were made differently. When I was looking at my choices for my future, my studies, I was obedient to that in pursuing study of theology to get a deeper understanding of God, of the Bible, of church history, so that I could be in a better place to work with young people, to support them, to share God's love with them, essentially that I knew what I was talking about. But I was obedient in laying down any aspirations I had before that point. I was fortunate to be raised in such a place that essentially the world was at my feet. I could have pursued any number of different avenues for myself, for my own glory and my own pleasure, but I was able to lay those down and continue, I suppose, in some ways, day to day, lay down those other things in pursuit of what I believe God has called me to, and to be obedient to that. My less big thing, less serious thing in some regards, my small thing is at a retreat a number of years ago. I was sat out in a kind of open field space. It was so happened this shared bit of someone's garden, and there was a football net and a football. And as I sat and I was praying, not because I'm overly spiritual, but that was something we've been asked to do, and I was obedient to that, I suppose. As I was praying and kind of waiting on God, I felt a little thing inside me, which some would describe as the voice of God. Others might think was just my own brain, who knows. But something inside me which told me, kick that football into the goal. Now, I wasn't alone. I was on my own in this instant. But around me in the field were others who'd be watching and kind of looking at each other. If I were to do this, it would look weird. I mean, there's no other word for it, it would look weird. And I wrestled a little bit with that. I thought, no, it's not a thing. Eventually, I thought, what have I got to lose? I'll kick the football into the goal and sat back down. I don't think anyone noticed. But that affirmed to me the sense of a need for obedience in the small things. That was a trivial instance, but there are many things in life day to day where there's a need for our obedience to God, or a reaffirmation of our obedience to what God has called us to in the long term, whether that's loving our families, our work, our ministries, our relationships. I wonder, what are the small things and the big things in your life where God is speaking to you, or might be trying to speak to you, that require our obedience? Or maybe you know those things. We know what those things are, and there are barriers to being obedient. In the story of Abraham, there appear to be no barriers, despite the fact that we know this was a life-altering decision to leave everything behind, to get up and go, to follow the promise of God. We see how that works out for Abraham, who then becomes Abraham, and such great things come from his life, from his family's life, from his people's life. Abraham went, just as the Lord had told him. But what gets in our way? Might it be fear? Fear that someone might be watching you, think you're weird for obeying. Fear that it's taking you out of your comfort zone. Fear that this is something unusual. Could it be fear that's stopping us from being obedient to God's voice? Could it be stubbornness? That's something as a child and as a young man we had to battle with, and I'm sure all of you would be the same in some regard. Stubbornness is when we think we know what's best. But already I've acknowledged earlier, when we have a healthy relationship with God, we understand that God knows best for us and for others. God sees a big picture that we don't. So we'd be fools to be stubborn, yet we persist in our stubbornness sometimes. That can be connected with fear, but is there an area in your life where you're being stubborn? Relentless in holding up against God, refusing to be obedient because you think our way is better than God's way? Maybe stubbornness is a barrier to obedience for you. Finally, apathy. One of the greatest challenges of our times is apathy. Can't be bothered. I'll do it later. I don't want to. I don't care enough. Could that be something that's stopping you from following God's call, God's voice, God's commands? To be obedient is to act. It's an act of sacrifice, to give of ourselves in order to show that love and trust to another. Apathy says, my time, my energy, my resources are more important. You can acknowledge that someone else is right. I can acknowledge my mum or my dad was right to ask me to do a certain thing. But even in knowing that, I have to have the effort put in obedience. If I'm willing to give that effort, well, that can be a real barrier to obedience. So it could be fear, it could be stubbornness, it could be apathy that's a barrier to our obedience to God in sometimes. But what do we miss out on? Well, we get missing out on being part of God's plans, God's action in the world. We get to miss out on our own enriching. See, Abraham says yes, and we follow his story, and amazing things happen, miracles happen, people are brought into relationship with God, his life discovers new purpose, new meaning. Nothing's the same after saying yes in an act of obedience. What are we missing out on? Maybe the same. What if I'd said no all those years ago? That I'd pursued other things, careers that might have made me more money, a life that might feel more luxurious. Where would I be now? Would I be happy? Would I be fulfilled? Most importantly, would I be closer to God? I don't think so. I think our act of obedience is a step of faith. A step of faith which deepens our relationship with God and with others. It grows our love for God and for others. And a church that's obedient is a church that's going places, a church that's going to grow in all different ways. So let me finish almost by reading something from Fear and Trembling by philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. He writes about Abraham, and he says this: "It was by his faith that Abraham could leave the land of his fathers to become a stranger in the land of promise. He left one thing behind, took another with him. He left behind his worldly understanding and took with him his faith. Otherwise, he surely would not have gone. Certainly, it would have been senseless to do so. It was by his faith that he could be a stranger in the promised land. There was nothing to remind him of what was dear, but the novelty of everything tempted his soul to sad longing. And yet he was God's chosen, in whom the Lord was well pleased. Yes, indeed. If only he had been disowned, cast out from God's grace, he would have understood it better. As it was, it looked more like a mockery of himself and his faith. From Abraham we have no song of lament. It is human to complain, human to weep with one who weeps, but it is greater to have faith and more blessed to behold the believer." So let me finish by asking you this. Where in your life do you need to be obedient? Is it something small? Is it something big? What might be the barriers to you following and being obedient, to act obediently to God's voice? And what help do you need? There's nothing wrong with accepting that we need help sometimes to be obedient. Our hearts can be there, but there can be so many things stopping us. Once more, why don't you turn to someone around you and ask them and share with each other what it is that you need to be obedient in this season, what the barriers might be, and what help you might need. If you're watching this at home or on your own, just take a moment to reflect on those questions. For now, let me pray as I finish. God, we thank you that you care so much for us and love us so deeply, that you want to have a relationship with us, a relationship that gives and takes, that you want to ask things of us, to involve us in your work in the world. I pray you would help us each to overcome whatever barriers there are to our own obedience. Maybe it's fear or stubbornness or apathy or something completely different. May we overcome that in focusing on you, your love, your goodness. May we follow your example of obedience as Jesus gave himself for us to be obedient to your will. Remind us this week and again, the joy there is found in obedience, the gifts that are found through obedience. As we think about Abraham and Abraham's story, may we be encouraged at the outcomes when we say yes to you. In your name we pray. Amen.